podcast, to be honest.
Well, you better fucking listen to this episode.
I'll send him the link and be like, yeah, I was like, you have to see this.
So, all right. Welcome back, guys. It's been a while since we've actually gotten to do an episode because
Been
we've
2 weeks.
been busy. Justin was out of town.
Yes.
So the reason Justin was out of town last week was his stepson Harry graduated college. So yay!
Yay.
Congratulations, Harry. That's why we called this episode "Congrats, Harry." Congrats, Harry.
He can now join the millions of people in debt.
Welcome to debt, buddy. Welcome to real debt. It is a real deal thing. You are now among the real people in the world. Welcome.
He'll be fine. He'll find a sugar mama or some crap like that, and she'll
There you
pay for it
go.
all. That's what's going to end up
There you go.
happening.
That's true. That's true. I mean, that's usually how it works, right? Hold on. Trying to get my laptop high enough to where I don't have the stupid glare. It might be enough. It's good enough. There we go.
But
So,
it's not a lot has happened in 2 weeks, to be
no,
totally honest.
not
It's been a very
yet.
quiet summer, you know. I think
Yeah.
the world events have kind of made fun things not so much prominent.
Well,
And it kind of makes
yeah.
things sad.
Well, the first thing I will say is thank you to everybody who came out for Free Comic Book Day. It was awesome. All the stores did great. To everybody who came out for the Bendis signing, thank you. That was awesome. All 350 of you that showed up. He had a blast. We had a blast. I got to hang out with him for about an hour afterwards, signing just a bunch of books for us, and talking about David Mack and my pure love for David Mack and his art. And it was cool to hear some stories that I had never heard about Dave, and that was kind of cool. And then to see Jessica Jones be announced for season two of Daredevil this week was kind of cool, and I was like, oh, sweet. So even better. But anyway, thanks for everybody who came out to everything, like the Comicsburg guys, Dan Noakes, the Giga Digga guys, all the guys from Cosplay for a Cause, like everybody that came out. Thanks for everybody who came out to cosplay karaoke, even though it got bumped back. And we have one more next Wednesday at the
You get
Resonine
two
in
this
Bridgeville.
month. You
Oh, we
get two this
do.
month.
We do. And
That's
this Wednesday coming up is Multiverse. That is our theme. It is our last, your last, last chance to win some tickets to Three Rivers Comic Con, which, by the way, everybody, it's one of these Jim Rugg covers. And he will be there on Saturday all day. So if you want to get it signed, Saturday's your day. Everybody gets one. You're going to get your wristband. We're going to hand you a bag. It's going to have this in it. Like, you don't even need to look for it. We're literally just going to hand it to you. Everybody, at all paying attendees. So if you're a free kid, you don't get one. Also because it's rated teen, so we're not going to give any to kids.
It's very
So,
mature, so it, you
well,
know,
it's
I
mostly
mean,
violence, but
yeah, but
it's rated teen, so I'm not going to give it to like a 6-year-old kid. Sorry.
no,
So
stick
anyway,
with the Spider-Man, stick with the Spider-Man stuff,
yeah.
please.
There's going to be a lot of free random crap. There's going to be other stuff. There's going to be people who worked on Spider-Man and things like that there. You can go and check out some other stuff. It's going to be cool. Our
There's
panels,
plenty of places to buy books.
most of the panels are up on the website. There's a couple more that we're digging out. The map will be up soon. I'm working on that this weekend now that we have just one booth left. One booth left. Hopefully we'll sell that by the end of this podcast. Maybe, fingers crossed. I will be assigning all of those booths later tonight or tomorrow, while my roof gets repaired. Yay! Yay, new roofs.
Yay,
Yay, adulting.
adulting.
Yay! I spent a lot of money this year and this month. I also bought a new guitar cabinet. Yay! So, I spent a stupid amount of money for no reasons. But the guest list is up, the exhibitor list is up. It's almost up to date. There's a couple guys that just bought booths in the last 2 days that are not up to date. But for the most part, it is up to date. The cosplay contest information is up there. The hotels, we just added another block at La Quinta out at the airport. So if you don't mind driving a little bit, it's $129 a night plus tax out there. You can drive in and park, pay for parking and go back out, which saves you a little bit more than paying the 209 plus tax staying downtown. And paying for parking as well, because the parking at the Westin is not included. The parking at the Quinta is. So depending on how you want to roll that's up to you. If you want to drive back and forth from the airport, totally cool. The airport is a little bit out of town, but it is kind of a straight shot, especially since Arts Festival is now on the other side of the convention center in the Strip District. You won't really have any conflicts going in and out, unless you stay until after the Pirates game lets out, in which case that'll be a little bit rough. But other than that, should be fine. Should be
No one
fine.
cares. The Pirates suck.
They're
We need
playing
a new
Philly. It's
owner.
gonna suck anyway. So both teams suck. It's gonna be the best suck fest ever. It's gonna be the Keystone playoff of who sucks the worst.
Worst.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great.
Yay.
I was talking to the guys from Zenoscope today, who are also coming to the show. And if you guys don't know, they actually are they're a publisher, but they're from the other side of the state, right? So they're pumped. They want to try to sneak out early enough to go to the game and pick up one of the pierogi hot dogs, because they're like,
There you
this thing
go.
looks insane, and I'm like, it is. It's pretty fucking baller.
If we only, spent money on the players instead of spending money on
Hot
gourmet
dogs.
ways of making hot dogs and pierogies together, I'd probably,
Shut your
not
mouth,
that I
Minzer.
not that I don't mind a good pierogi and hot dog combo, but I would love to see the Pirates actually do something. So, but
Say
again.
the ghost of Roberto Clemente is about to come and beat your ass.
Hell, I take the ghost of Barry Bonds at this point, man. He's not even
That's
dead.
fair. He's not even dead though. But sure.
The ghost of
Okay.
young Barry Bonds,
There.
pre-steroid.
The pre 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 Barry Bonds is coming back to kick your ass. So,
But
pre-steroid Barry Bonds, crazy.
yeah. Oh, I was
But
watching,
anyway.
what was it, on Netflix, 30 for 30. They were talking about Deion Sanders when he played baseball and football that same weekend. It was the same weekend the Braves beat the Pirates, the last time the Pirates were going to go to the World Series in 1992. And I had to rewatch the Sid Bream thing all over again, and it made me sick to my stomach.
Bummer.
And what? Unfortunately, we're still on the celebrity that dies what like a week of. We lost one of the legends of ECW, Sabu, age 60. And they say he
That
just
was
did
very
his
sad.
he did his last match the weekend, that weekend. I'm like, wow. That hit hard. That hit hard there as an
That was a
ECW
tough one.
fan. Yeah, there. And especially for you Philly fans out there, ECW is Philly. That was a,
That was rough. Very rough.
that sucked.
Oh yeah, one last thing. Let me pull it up though while you talk for a minute. I gotta find the con
I was gonna
page.
say it definitely hurt because I remember watching him and the Sandman for their event in Monaca, PA, November to Remember 1999, I think. Barbed wire, chairs, and ladders match was the main event, and it was him and the Sandman, and it was the most gory, bloodiest thing I ever saw in my life as a wrestling fan. To this day, I haven't seen some of these extreme guys that use like glass and stuff. They use the like lamp shards and stuff. I know those guys are like insane, but this was before that. They pioneered this stuff, and it was definitely as
Oh yeah.
a wrestling guy. It's like you ever, we all like WWE for the most part. Some of us were C WCW fans, but I think both factions liked ECW too because it was something way out there. And they weren't built like some of
Right.
these guys were. Like Sabu was very, like, I want to say he's very athletic, but Sandman was. He was just a beer gut dude that carried around a Singapore cane and beat the crap. He wore the
Yep.
MC Hammer pants and a t-shirt. That was
Yep.
his wrestling outfit.
Yep. Yes, sir. All right. Just so you guys know, Ali Garza is doing a print for the con. He's doing this awesome Pittsburgh Harley. Because if you don't know, he is a very big Steelers fan. How about that? Check out the arm. Anyway, this comes in regular and risque. There's paper ones. There are metal prints as well. The metal prints are going to be extremely limited. The paper prints, there's only going to be, I think he told me, like 25 made. The metal prints, I think, are 5 or 10 of each. So it's 20 or 30, 20 to 30 for the regular slash risque of the paper, 50 to 60 for the metal. Reach out to him through socials if you're interested in picking one up and saving one. I know I already told him I would like a regular metal one. And a couple of the guys in our Elwood store would like a couple of those too. They are pretty excited about it. So, yeah, that's one of those things that's pretty freaking awesome. So I think that was the only thing I really had to do. Oh, and hold on, I have one more because it's funny.
Okay. Are you sure you
FYI,
mean are me?
yep. Just so you guys know, this year's show is brought to you by Sheetz. So I decided to take our poster and literally create it into a meme where Justin and Scott and I and Godzilla are in the meme. So I've been
I
trying
feel
to think
bad for
of
Scott.
different ways. I've been trying to think of different ways to change this up to like be like fuck Wawa. Like be like Godzilla's like blowing up Wawa or something. But I can't really do that in a way that makes it work. But anyway, Sheets thought the guys at Sheets saw this. They commented laughter. They commented, throwing horns. So they apparently think it's pretty funny. Thank you guys from Sheets for being sponsors this year and tossing us some money to help us out with some advertising. We're really excited about having you guys at the
And
show.
they have a table.
Yep. Yep. Don't forget DJ Kaufman's going to be there, and he just had his V Friends trading cards hit from Tops. They just hit pretty hard, actually. So,
Nice.
yeah. All right,
Congratulations
let's
on
talk some comics. So, where the hell am I share screen again? Oh, there it is. I hate when everything slides around.
that.
Boom.
All right. This is going to be a quickie because I'm not going to get into too much of this, but I'm a big Dr. Fate fan, so as soon as I saw this, I had to grab it because I don't think I'll ever see the real one in my lifetime unless Todd like manages gets his hand on one of these.
You might find one at Three Rivers Comic Con.
That's true. But I've never seen one of these, so I was excited because I don't think this isn't the first appearance of Dr. Fate, but it's definitely like I want to say third appearance.
think you're close. I'll look it up while you talk about this book.
But it has the first stories, obviously, as you see, is Dr. Fate fighting a bunch of burglars. Apparently the burglars work for a guy who creates a potion to give him power or strength. And he also was able to conjure a giant spider against Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate beats the spider, beats this guy whose name is Doctor Who, or Mr. Who, not Doctor Who, Mr. Who. But it kind of gives you the inclination of where Doctor Who kind of came from. This might have been the origin of Doctor Who. But he beats the gang, he beats
First
Mr.
appearance of Aquaman, Green Arrow, and Speedy.
Yeah, so this isn't like a first appearance in that. Yeah. But again, it's you're talking about all this. There's the second story, which is the Green Arrow with Speedy, which is the first appearance of Speedy. The third story is called the Radio Squad story. The fourth story is a Johnny Quick story, which I never heard of that. Fifth
Johnny Quick?
is,
Really?
I've never heard of that.
He was a golden age speedster, like similar to the Flash.
Okay. That's probably why I didn't hear of him.
He was after Jay Garrick, but before Barry.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it again, a lot of if it's not
Yeah.
certain
He's
characters on DC, I don't follow DC
the
as
one
much.
that he's the one that actually had to use the math equation to access the Speed Force.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then the fifth story, there's like seven stories in this book. So this is actually worth that $6 price because it is a thick book. It looks exactly like the old school one. It actually has the same paper too. It's a very old school paper. So the sixth story is a Spectre story, which you see up here in the corner. And the seventh story is Aquaman. So
Nice.
it was a fun book. It's definitely you see the hokiness of the Golden Age era. Because you're fighting burglars and somehow the burglars can fight back. It's kind of weird comparative to like modern or even Silver Age villains. So it was fun. Yeah, I would give this. I'll give this a 10 out of 12. Like, just because it's cool to see how far comics have come. And this was like the start, one of the starts here. Especially if you are a Greenland, like a Speedy fan and a Aquaman fan.
Yeah.
It's cool to see like their first appearances. I was just excited to see a Dr. Fate book that wasn't from the poorly made Black Adam movie.
Fair. You know what? I was thinking, I think I've actually held this book, but the version of the book that I've held did not have a cover on it.
Ah,
But,
I would take a coverless one myself.
right? But like, even then, it was still like 7 grand,
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
right? Yeah. But I definitely have seen this book before a couple times. It might have been at the Jeppe Museum down in Baltimore when it was still opened.
Okay.
But I've definitely seen one, maybe at Baltimore, definitely at New York. But you may actually see this book at our show. There are vendors that will have this caliber kind of stuff at the show, like a real one, not the facsimile, like a
Yeah.
real deal, full on, like,
Well,
original Golden Age version of this.
I'm at that point where most collectors are is, yeah, I can get the modern stuff real easily, and I can even afford the Bronze Age, even some of the Silver Age stuff, but I haven't even touched a like Golden Age as far as owning one myself. So that
Yeah.
may be a goal sometime.
Yeah. I mean, I think I only own four, maybe five Golden Age books total. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
But they're your what is it all Green Lantern
It's
based?
all Green Lantern. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
all Green
yeah.
Lantern.
Like I would love to get Dr. Fate a Dr. Fate Golden Age or Spectre Golden Age. I think those would be the two that I'd probably go for target wise.
Right. All right. My first book is Absolute Green Lantern number two. So this book picks up right where the first one left off, where Joe comes in to find Hal. Hal is the Black Hand. Joe is a Green Lantern. They're trying to figure out what the hell happened. And Hal says, like, don't come near me. My hand just wants to absorb the green light. He's like, she's like, do you even remember what happened to Guy? And they cut back to where they meet Abin Sur, and Abin Sur is full on fucking Frieza. Like, he looks like Frieza, full form Frieza with four arms, and he is just standing there, and he is just like, come talk to me with understanding and no fear. Judgment will now commence. And so as he's talking to people, he is ju like the green light is judging them. And Guy is the sheriff of the town. So he comes up and he starts talking because he is the law. And it says, like, judgment will now commence on you. And at some point he pulls his gun and like it basically goes to where Guy kind of gets annihilated by the green light. And he just says, Guy Gardner has been judged. Judgment is in progress. Be without fear. And they just start shooting at Abin Sur, and this green the green force field comes around him, and he starts keep saying stuff like, be entirely without fear. And the bullets like ricochet and start killing people in the crowd, and all these people start dying, and he cuts off this dude's arm, and it gets all kinds of crazy, and you just kind of see the how things progressed with them encountering Abin Sur. And how the people we know as the Green Lantern Corps came to do that, and then how Hal Jordan ended up picking up a gun and why he ended up becoming the Black Hand, and then also like how they ended up like they realized they were like stuck in under this green giant Green Lantern ship, which is like basically a giant dome. Also, you find out that the cafe and diner they're drinking is actually called Alan Scott's Atom Bomb Cafe and Diner, which I thought was cute. John Stewart as an engineer is engineering the Green Lantern ring, and that's actually how the ring actually ends up working. So I'm really digging this book because it's almost like a horror version of Green Lantern. The art's a little anime for me, but not as anime heavy as like Batman, Absolute Batman is. So, it's kind of like right in that sweet spot where I'm not too. It's not throwing me out of the story. Like, it's working for the story. So I'm gonna give it 10 out of 12 eggs. I think it's moving in the right direction. I think the art's fantastic. I think the story moves along. The way that this book has kind of messed with the ethos to kind of make this story so much darker and kind of twist the characters into different positions that we haven't seen them in is so almost refreshing, but also kind of scary at the same time. Because Hal's my guy, so it's a little weird watching him become the Black Hand. But I also feel like at the very end, he's going to overcome that and become like a Green Lantern. So I'm very excited to see what happens at the end of this arc. But Al Ewing is crushing it. I really, really like, if you're a Green Lantern fan, you should be reading this book. I really think it's on everybody. It should be on everybody's reading list right now. So.
All right, we got Godzilla versus X-Men, and this was a really fun one shot here. We see Sunfire battling Godzilla in a port in Japan. Godzilla ends up destroying this facility at the port, which is a My pronunciations could be bad here. Sugani Robotics.
Sure.
And I it's pretty close, I think. And he destroys that and then he just leaves. Fast forward to the X Mansion, and Xavier is meeting with reps from not only Japan, but leaders in the US to kind of see what they can do to battle against Godzilla. And of course, Xavier's like, well, see if we can communicate with him in some way or another. And as they're discussing, the X-Men are training in the Danger Room, of course, because you know what they normally do. But they're trying to find ways to battle against Godzilla in the Danger Room, which is kind of interesting, as they were planning meticulously. But Xavier has a plan. Which actually involved, we see Gambit stealing the super adaptoid, using PIM particles, by the way, which is kind of fun. And those will come into play later here. We find out the X-Men are in the Blackbird, linked through Cerebro, through Charles, linked into the super adaptoid. So you get the adaptoid that has all the X-Men together in one being, and all their powers are in one being. And they use the PIM particles to grow the super adaptoid to the size of Godzilla, and they start battling. And it's kind of fun, because you see the adaptoid has little bits of each X-Men in the uniform and everything. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to see it and like watch it. It was very interesting. But as the adaptoid and Godzilla are battling, here comes out of nowhere a three-headed robot giant mech dragon thing. That the robot, the Sugani Robotics, sent, and it was battling against both the X-Men and Godzilla. We find out that the head of the robotics company here, Kimento, his father was killed by Godzilla in the 1950s, and he blamed Godzilla for the death of his father, even though Godzilla was battling against one of the other kaiju, and his father just happened to be collateral damage. It wasn't like Godzilla didn't kill him on purpose or anything like that. It was just what happens when you get hit with a natural disaster. You can't get away from it. So Xavier kind of did his mind thing and They defeated this three-headed dragon thing pretty easily. And then Xavier linked Godzilla's mind with Kamento's mind. And Kamento was still angry, but again, you're dealing with a lot of the we blame everything on the unusual and unknown and powerful, hence mutants. Because he turned around and he's like, "You mutants always side with the freaks and this, that, and the other." And he's like, "This has nothing to do with us. This is just how the situation presented itself. It had nothing to do with us." And even Sunfire, who is like Japan's hero, was like, "You need to stop blaming others for your tragedies and place your anger into a positive manner." And that was the end of the book. I thought this was really fun, especially seeing the Adaptoid with all the combined X-Men's powers was something to behold. It was kind of a cool plan. So I'm going to give this 11 out of 12. Like, this was a fun book. The various covers too are fun in it of itself. There were several there that were really fun to have. I just took the one that was looked like they were it was like the boxing poster where it's Wolverine and Godzilla going against each other there. That was the one I picked out. But there were a lot of really cool covers for this book too. This was a fun one shot.
He's still trying to blow up a Wawa.
Yeah. Are there Wawas in Japan?
Maybe. Wouldn't be surprised. All right, my next book is Supergirl number one. By Sophie Campbell, Tamara Bond villain. So this is the new all-in Supergirl. It starts out with her fighting Princess Shark. Throwing Princess Shark in the ocean, kind of reintroduces you to Supergirl with Crypto and Streaky, where she's like, kind of babysitting the Bottle City of Kandor, and then all of a sudden while she's in there, like her mom call like her stepmom or. Yeah, I guess her stepmom, like her Earth mom, calls her and is like, "Hey, we're back in Midvale. You should come and visit." And she's like, "Really? I don't really want to do that, but okay." So she goes and gets like her old comb that changes her hair color to brown, and puts her glasses on and goes back there. And there's this billboard as she comes into town that says like home of Supergirl, and she's like, what the fuck? So all of a sudden there's all kinds of like Supergirl stuff, like home of Supergirl, try a Supergirl salad, and all these people are like wearing Supergirl stuff. And she goes to the house and like all of her stuff is in the trash, including all of her old Supergirl outfits, which is interesting because it's like some of the old ones, like the George Perez style, and like the Matrixy style one, like they're in there, and like an old neighbor comes up and starts talking to her. It's like Linda Danvers, blah blah blah. I haven't seen you in forever, and blah 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 blah. She's like, oh hey, blah blah. She talks to her, whatever. And then a car comes flying out of nowhere and almost hits her, so she turns into Supergirl and saves her. And she's like, all of a sudden, she's like, wait a minute, that's not Supergirl. And then she's like, this must be the imposter they warned us about. And they're like, wait, she's like, I am Supergirl, though. She's like, this, like, everybody back up. Wait a minute, what's going on here? And then this other Supergirl shows up in the sky with a flying super bunny, which is really interesting, who is way curvier, shorter glass or shorter hair, very interesting. And like she hits her with this like just like color changing like goo stuff, And like Crypto gets mad about it. She flies away. She's like, I don't know what's going on. So she hides all of her stuff in this old hollow tree. Changes back, opens, goes up to the house, rings the doorbell. Her parents open the door. She's like, hey, can we help you? And she's like, hey, it's me, I'm Kara. She's like, you must have the wrong house. We don't know you. She's like, but it's me. So she barges in. She's like, what the hell's going on here? And all of a sudden, this girl comes down from the upstairs and she's like, hey, my name, what? I'm Linda Danvers. Nice to meet you. And she's like, no, I'm Linda. At least I think I am. And that's where it ends. So it's the story is kind of interesting. The art, on the other hand, I'm not super, super, super 100% on right yet. Like it's a little almost cartoony. Like it's very, like have you read like those like the like the teen like novels that they were doing, like the Batman and the Catwoman and the Supergirl and like the DC teen novels that they were doing for a while there, like they did a Zatanna one and stuff like that. It kind of reminds me of the art out of those, like almost like DC superhero girls almost, but a little more adult. The art seems a little on the juvenile end, right?
Okay.
Like it's good, but it's just a little too juvenile looking for me. It's almost like Monster High, but like not in the scary side. Like it's just very almost like Scooby-Doo, right? So like I dig it, but it's not quite like I don't know if I like it or if it's just I'm not quite used to it or if it's just I'm not used to it in the story yet. But I'm not gonna say that I don't like it because it's just not, I don't know if I'd like it or not yet, or if I don't love it yet. But it's kind of working for me, but not 100%. The story was pretty solid though. There were a couple moments where I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but then it kind of picked back up and kind of fixed itself. So I'm gonna go and give this a 9 out of 12. Because it was very good. I mean, this was probably actually I'm gonna go 8 out of 12. I don't think it was quite as good as like the Tom King Supergirl. But it's at least on par with like New 52 Supergirl when it started. But this just is, it's very bubblegummy right now, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand all that sweetness. So might rot my teeth. So but I like it. I'll at least give it another issue. We'll say that. So
Okay. Well, we got Wolverine number 9. Now, this is kind of a like a little bit of a recap in the very beginning, because like the first 8 issues were very action-packed. So we're starting the new arc here. It starts with him sitting in a bar. Of course, there's two dudes in the bar, talking about mutants, and especially the one was younger, trying to be alpha male, saying how much he hates mutants and blah blah blah. And the older guy's just like, dude, can you just calm down? I'm just trying to relax. And Wolverine just sitting there, drinking his beer and reading the letter from his mother. The alpha guy tries to start something with Wolverine, and Wolverine was just kind of like, I'm not in the mood, kid, you know. I was like, but if you want to do something, he's like, now's your chance to take a shot, because this is about the most distracted I'm ever going to be. And that scared the piss out of the alpha male. So he didn't do anything. Surprise, surprise. He goes out in the parking lot and he gets confronted by Department H. And they try to be nice at first, but then they try to do the well, we're cops, so we can do whatever we want type thing, and he just beats the piss out of him. He doesn't even unsheath his claws. He just manhandles them barehanded. And they're just punching through armor, just beating their ass. But we do see the agent Mentella, who got a promotion because of the last arc, where they figured out what was the cause of the real killer, which happened to be Cyber. And she basically tells Logan, she's like, we would like for you to kind of, work with us. And he's like, look, I've done that before and it did not work out well. And she's like, well, she's like, just letting you know, she's like, we're here. I will be your liaison. So I guess he has a liaison with Department H now. And he's like, well, he's like, I will look forward to working with you if I can. He's like, but I have other things that I need to deal with right now. So he goes off and he drives to his original house in the old his old estate, where he sees a light. And supposedly an abandoned manor that no one's supposed to be living on. So he goes and gets on the property and he gets attacked by Harpoon and Vertigo, as you can see in the front cover there. He takes care of them pretty easily. But he figures out if they're there, he figures out that there might be someone there in the house that he knows exactly who it is. And it looks like we're going to get a Sabretooth appearance in the next book. This was a solid, go between train, like laying the groundwork for the next arc of the series. It's not bad. The art was good. I don't know who the writers are for this, but I'm not opposed to what's going on currently. So I'll give this a 9 out of 12 just because there wasn't a lot of like gore or anything. It wasn't like super actiony. It was just two quick fights. And that was it. And you didn't really see a lot with it, but you're getting a lot of foreshadowing of possibly what's going to happen in this current arc. So, well, I'll figure out what happens the next time around.
Cool.
So.
All right. My last book, and this is a sad one because it's the last issue in this series of X Factor. It only went 10 issues. Sad panda. Sad, sad panda. But we got some really great Greg Land art on every cover. So. Mark Russell did a really good job with this series, I just want to say. This book ends with Havoc kind of wrecking the plane with the with the Strychnine and his guys like kind of dying in the plane. Him throwing Granny and Frenzy and the rest of X Factor out into the ocean. They kind of land on like some boats and stuff, and all of a sudden, McCloud shows up, who is literally a giant dude made of cloud. Like he is literally a cloud, but he has a yacht, and his yacht is called the Golf Daddy.
I thought when you said McCloud, I thought you were like, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, is there a
No, not the
Highlander in this?
Highlander. No, no, no,
Yeah.
no, no,
I
no.
was like, there could be only
No.
one. He just starts
He's literally a
taking heads.
cloud. Yeah. He's literally a cloud. Yeah.
Oh my.
Right. So then Archangel's, having a conscious problem of, did I do something wrong when I picked up Polaris? Your General Mills is basically yelling at Polaris and Darkstar because they're now in prison. They find out Jovis is actually in prison with them and has been actually working with General Mills to kind of help everybody or to kind of kidnap the rest of X Factor and these other mutants. Outside of that prison, the two guards are like, fog? Isn't it supposed to be sunny today? Which is McCloud's power. He turns into fog, right? All of a sudden the yacht, the Golf Daddy yacht, just flies on like into the side of the building. And the like the General Mills is out there yelling, raiding a military base with a mini yacht, Havoc. Are you like, are you stupid? That was that your plan? And he goes, it does sound like a pretty bad play when you put it that way. He's like, but Kyber's electromagnetic pulses will get through instead of my plasma blast. And Kyber just he's like charging up, and he just goes, please don't die, please don't die, please don't die. Havoc's just go or not Havoc, Frenzy's just going, wait, is that your catchphrase? Like, that might be the funniest part of this whole book, where Kyber's catchphrase may be, please don't die. Which then short circuits Pyro's laptop as he's writing a romance novel, sets all the prisoners free. Polaris comes out, Archangel saves everybody. Polaris, like, throws all of the guards down. Does her whole like magnetism stuff, makes a bad animal magnetism joke. Frenzy makes fun of the fact that it's a bad joke. She tells Havoc how much she loves him. They kind of go and still break up and leave. And then Havoc and Warren kind of are talking about how the fact that they should probably figure out what to do. So it looks like the team is staying together, but they're not, but the book is canceled, right? And Darkstar goes to beat the shit out of General Mill and the other dude. So the art in this book has been fantastic. The story has been very good. Is it Peter David good? No. Is it as good as it was during the Krakoa era? No, but it was pretty good. Like, it wasn't bad at all. I think it kind of tried to jump, it tried to do some stuff very quickly that I don't think it necessarily needed to do. And I think it kind of pushed itself a little too far too fast. I think it had a lot of potential and it just didn't quite hit the stride it needed to. I also don't think it had quite the right team lineup. So the single issue I'm going to give it a 9 out of 12. The series overall, I'm giving a 8 out of 12. Just because it, like I said, it definitely had potential, but I don't think it quite ever hit where it really could have been to be very awesome. But man, did it have some like killer freaking art, especially those Greg Land covers. Like the couple Archangel covers that it had were great. I really enjoyed the hell out of the art. Especially, and I like a good Havoc story. I like a good Polaris story. I like Warren. Forget-Me-Not's great. But some of the other team members were a little too weird for X Factor, if that even makes sense. Like this iteration of X Factor was just a little bit too off for me. Because like they're usually like some pretty weird dudes. Because they're always very like they're always some crazy team members, like Darwin and Strong Guy and Wolfsbane and Monet and Longshot and oh man, Jesus, who else was on that team? Dakin was even on the team for a while. Northstar and Aurora, like Puck, like those are the B and C list guys that I like. But like Kyber was a little too low. He was like an F level guy to me. Granny was a little bit too low for me. Like I said, I think they were just a little bit too far down the chain of awesome guys. Like it felt like the team was kind of scraping bottom of the barrel a little too far. It almost felt like they were almost reaching for like the Avengers Academy guys almost. Which at this point I would actually take some of the Avengers Academy guys because they were actually pretty good. Like those kind of guys actually should be on the Avengers now. And they'd actually be pretty good members. But yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. So anyway. Okay. So what else do we have to talk about? I can give a spoiler-free Thunderbolts review.
Talk a little bit about the Spider-Man Noir.
Oh yeah. Why don't you talk about that? Because you watched that and I did not. And then I'll give a spoiler-free Thunderbolts review, and then we'll be good to go, I think.
And then of course our third co-host here decided to make his appearance or guest. Well, basically from what I saw, now this was mini t trailer, which means you get like 20 seconds of fun stuff, and that's about it. So, first and foremost, this is not a full trailer. It's a series by that's going to be on Prime, which is really weird that Sony's using Amazon for this, but yay. Let's see, Sony gets it right, first and foremost. But Nick Cage is doing it. It felt very Sin City, which it's supposed to. Black and white. Definitely the costume design is spot on with the whole 1930s shtick, and the it looks like the origin is the same. Him getting bit by the sacred spider, so now he has powers. It looks good. Nick Cage is doing it, so and he did it for the Miles Morales cartoon or animated series, or not series, animated movies. It looks promising. But again, we're doing Sony here. I don't trust Sony as far as I could throw them, as far as dealing with anything like Spider-Man related. So we'll see how it goes. But the small stuff that I did see, this the small flashes, it is super dark though, which may be a hindrance. I am sure that if you get into theaters, it's not so much, but if you try to watch it on a normal TV at home, it might be too dark. So be aware of that. So. But
Okay.
it looks promising. It's again, mini trailer, it's hard to tell, but the small little things that I saw from it look pretty decent.
Awesome.
So.
All right. So Thunderbolts. So if you liked the Hawkeye miniseries and the Black Widow movie and the Captain America miniseries, you will like this movie. Because it kind of wraps up a lot of the loose ends in those movies or those shows. Florence Pugh is the main focus of this. Wyatt Russell returns as US agent John Walker and is amazingly good at it. Red Guardian is a really, really good. They really flesh out Ghost from Ant-Man 2 to where she doesn't suck. Because I thought she was kind of boring in Ant-Man 2. Like they made her actually very good in this. And they really do a good job with Sentry without the whole, like, him being a character that was actually in the past and then, like, in the present. And because, like, in the comics, like, he actually was there and he was, like, immortal, but he was, like, experimented on in, like, the 40s. And was a hero, and then kind of like was kind of locked away for a long time, and was kind of like basically like put under, like he was kind of had just memory loss, if I remember right. It's been a long time since I've read about him, but they did a really good job of everything that they do with the Sentry and his character, and everything that has to do with that. I was very, very concerned about how they were going to make that work, and they do a very good job of that. They balance his character very well. They make his story work for now. They make it work for the MCU, and they use the right characters in this movie to embellish their stories and weave that into this so that the overarching or the underlying discussion of mental health is discussed in a positive way, right? Because if you know anything about the Sentry's character, his whole character is about mental health, because he basically is bipolar, and they do a really good job of talking about mental health in this without really talking about mental health. They talk a little bit about depression, without really talking about it, but they do a very good job of it. There are two cutscenes. The first one's kind of dumb but funny. The last one kind of leads into later parts of the MCU. And I think it was very good. I thought it was had just the right amount of action, just the right amount of comedy. Bucky is fan fucking tastic. If you like Bucky, this is a great movie for you.
I was gonna say there, I've liked him. He's never really had a bad, like, what a bad
I mean,
appearance.
he had like a cameo in Brave New World, but it wasn't really like a big appearance, but this kind
Yeah.
of like follows that and
Okay.
kind of fleshes that out, 'cause like you find out he was elected a senator, and then this one kind of like pushes that to the next level. But there's like this awesome scene with him on a motorcycle that's just fucking amazeballs.
Yeah, I think we
And
saw that in a preview
yeah, you
earlier.
saw part of it in the preview, but you don't get to see the whole scene in it. And the whole scene is absolutely amazeballs. But he is very, very good. And it's just very well done. Like I think they really kind of nailed it the way they needed to. And it's kind of, they kind of do a Dark Avengers vibe, with Val, kind of like putting this team together kind of thing, but not really in the same right, but and using Avengers Tower as kind of like a headquarters. So it's kind of interesting, like all the little bits and pieces that they use to make this movie work. But it is very, very good. I really enjoyed the shit out of this. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Ironheart. The trailer for that kicked out yesterday. And it looks very good too. So that kicks out next month, end of next month, I think. So lots of good stuff coming. It's gonna be a lot of fun. It's gonna be a packed
Yeah.
summer. So, but cool. All right, guys. That's pretty much all we got, I think. Yeah, hopefully we'll see everybody in the stores and at the show, and yeah, get your tickets. It's gonna be a good time.
Yep.
So
Please do.
we have some guests coming on in 2 weeks, and then and 3 weeks. In 2 weeks we have a new publisher coming on. And in 3 weeks, we have the guys from Comicsburg coming on. Yeah, next week will be our last regular week before 2 weeks of guests. And then we may take a break week or 2 break weeks, depending, mostly because of travel. So, it'll be a good time. So, anyway, have a great night, guys. It's great seeing everybody again, and hope you had fun. Remember to buy some comics, support your local shop. Doesn't have to be us, but it'd be great if it is. And yeah, we'll see you soon.
See you guys.